A reading from the book of Acts, the 13th chapter. Paul addressed the crowd in Pisidian Antioch. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize Jesus nor understand the utterance of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who had come up from Galilee to Jerusalem and who are now witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. Also, as it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, I give you the holy and sure blessing of David. Therefore he says also in another psalm, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish. For I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O Lord, have mercy upon us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's the first Monday of Lent, the first Monday and the first after the first Sunday of Lent, or in Lent. And I hope that all of you are sufficiently sad. I would like you to go out and make plans and efforts to ruin any happiness that you might have for the next 40 days. For example, if there's something that you really like, get rid of it. Cast it from your life. Because sadness is what Lent is all about, right? And if you really enjoy something that maybe is a little bit sinful, like cigars or peeps or chocolate bars, just get a devil's mask and put them underneath it. Because they're evil. Or at least that's what everybody seems to think as we look at what's going on as people try to celebrate Lent. They think that they've got to get an emotion going which will thereby connect them to the meaning and the purpose of the season. And I think that the reason might have some piety behind it, but it falls victim to everything that we always do. We try first with our works, and when our works fail and we realize that our works bring us no closer to God, we then launch ourselves into our emotions, and we hope that our emotions, which are flimsier than anything on the face of the earth, will thereby drag us into the presence of the Lord. You know, Lutherans have called that pietism for years, but we're all pietists at heart. We want to feel something. We want to know something by our feelings and through our feelings. And even in marriage, people try to define that marriage is good because of the way that they're feeling, or relationships are good because of the way that they're feeling. Every time I taught a marriage class or got people prepared for marriage, I would sit there with them, and most of the time I'd ask the question, why do you want to get married? What does marriage offer you that you don't get any other way? And they'd say, nothing. They'd sit there, especially the guy. I'd stare at the guy, and the guy would say nothing, and the gal would stare at the guy. And eventually she'd get tired of the fact that he wasn't going to answer, and she'd burst out, and it would usually be something like this: oh, I love him so much, I just can't imagine my life without him, and when I'm not with him, I can't sleep, and I can't eat, and nothing seems right in the world. And I say, well, you're describing the flu or mental illness. That isn't something worth building a life on. And Lent isn't built on our feelings either. So if it's not our works and not our feelings, what is it? It's attentiveness. But not attentiveness to you. Attentiveness to Christ. These 40 days give us the opportunity to do something that we so quickly pass over in most instances, and that's to remember that the great exchange that Christ has made has two parts, an active and a passive obedience. Usually we have Lutheran sermons, and we have great sermons here, so nobody think that I'm talking about one here. But usually we have Lutheran sermons here that say, you're bad, God's good, do missions. And by the way, Jesus died for you. And we tend to walk past the fact that from the time of conception, really before, but from the time of conception through the resurrection, Jesus wasn't just dying in our place, he was living in our place. He was doing everything to fulfill the law for us. And if he failed at any point, all would be lost for us. We need to be attentive to what that meant to him and for us. As we watch and understand that every breath, every prayer, every miracle, everything that he said, everything that he did was there for the sake of your redemption. And nothing could be wrong, nothing could be missing, nothing could be imperfect. While we watch that, we often notice that it's not like us. We're not driven in the same way by the same things. It's where we notice that we're apart from him. And it's there that we really need to put our Lenten vigors, that we see those places where our lives are moving us away from him, away from what he is, and away from what he says is good. Not because it's going to give us salvation, but because apart from him, there's only death and evil and hatred. Apart from him is the world that the devil said was given to him in the temptation in the wilderness. You may have noticed that in the wilderness, he shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment and shows them all their glory, and he says, all this has been given to me. And although he usually lies, I don't think he was lying then. Because you see, although all things belong to God, he gave the earth to Adam and his descendants. And they, by daily acts of pious devotion to themselves, gave power over the earth to Satan. And when we try to build our kingdom in this place, we build a place apart from him, a place that he would not abide or bear. as Paul goes into Pisidian Antioch, he takes these people who didn't know anything about what had happened in truth. They heard about this terrible, terrible death in Jerusalem that everybody had cried about and everybody had bemoaned. And they probably knew something about the corruption of the church, because let's face it, the church in every age is packed with sinners and filled with corruption. They may have said it was unjust, but they didn't know that it was their salvation at stake. When they heard the words that this was for them, they cried out to Paul, "Please tell us about this again. Please bring it back to us the next Sabbath." Some grabbed onto him and wouldn't let him go. Because for generations, even the best of them had failed. Even the best of them had died. Even the best of them had lost everything. Injustice, evil, been brought into the world and by the people that they loved most. How often have our hearts been pained by watching that happen? At the hands of people we love or at our own hands? Lent calls us to take our eyes off of that evil and fix our eyes on the grace which would walk him to the cross and every step for good. How many times our worries have become our meditation? Lent is the time when we take our eyes off of them and place them on the one who walks the road to Calvary. How often our emotions have driven us to the wrong place? They are the flimsiest of all things to base your life on. They're not the seed of our salvation. They're the fruit. And so when I look at the cross, I do feel something. Maybe the first true and somewhat pure thing I've ever felt. When I do look at what he's done, I do feel something. But it isn't the cause of my Lenten devotion. It's the fruit of it. And when I look at what he's done, I act, not the cause, but the fruit of my salvation. And the Lord calls us again to be with him, inseparable and insuperable, until the day when the story of his life reaches its final stanza. When he has redeemed his own and brought them into his heavenly kingdom to live with him forever and ever. Because you see, the story of his life becomes the story of our life. Just as the story of his life was joined to the story of David and all those others mentioned in the lesson today. Through the waters of baptism, he joined your story to his. And made you part of the people of salvation, part of the walk to Calvary. He made his death your death, his resurrection your resurrection. Lent is here. Lent is here. Be attentive. Watch. Learn. Your Lord walks the road for your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.